Well, desire and interest in your prayers. Certainly want the Lord to bless the thoughts, to be a help to us. Certainly don't want what we say to be a hindrance or to cause someone to be discouraged this morning. I have a little thought in my mind that's maybe not so original in the topic. Probably a subject that's been preached on a number of times, and I'm going to do my best to share what I've been inspired with, but it's not, what would you say? It's not, it doesn't fully encapsulate everything that could be said, just some thoughts. So I'd like to talk to us this morning about spiritual growth. I'll write that up here. I think all of us like to see things grow that's supposed to grow. A few years ago now, I bought some, I'm going to call them bushes, shrubs, bushes, something like that. Planted one on each side of the driveway down close to the road at our place, and they have kind of, I don't know what brand or variety or species they are, but the foliage is not green. The foliage on it is, what would you call it, red? It's a real dark red, almost maroon color. Thought it looked interesting. And sometimes early in the spring, it'll have some little reddish, maroon-colored little blossoms on it early. But so I planted them and tried to tend to them, not maybe like a real green thumb would, but as best as I could. And they've, well, the best I did, let's put it that way. And they've grown and they've filled out. One of them was a little, it was kind of lopsided for a little while, and they've gained enough size, and they were starting to get bushy enough that I realized either these things were going to overpower the little spot that I planted them in, or I'm going to have to trim them. So I got some trimmers out, and I tried to trim them and shape them like I thought they ought to look like. And so now that I've trimmed them, I see new little leaves coming out. So all of this is positive because I like things that I plant, especially because I bought them for my wife in particular. I like for something that I intend to grow to grow. And it's not that I just want it to be shapeless and just to grow kind of wild and get woolly looking out there, but I want them to have a uniform shape. You know, if I got two plants the same size and they're supposed to be kind of a bush, then if I don't want one with a flat top and the other one round. You know, I want them both kind of the same shape. So I was thinking about this week, some about spiritual growth, and I think if we, as we endeavor to be a Christian, to be a saved person, I think it's good for us to look back and just consider, you know, time has went on, where am I? Am I growing? Has there been progress? You know, oak trees are not known for being fast-growing species of trees. And I have a very large tree, an oak tree at my house. I took a tape measure a number of years ago now and went around the circumference of the oak tree, and it was a little over 16 feet around this tree. It's a big tree. And before the elderly neighbor died, probably he's been gone, I don't know, 7 or 8 years now, quite a while. And before he died, I asked him, I said, Pete, I said, how old do you think that tree is? And he said, I don't know. He said, it's been a big tree all of my life. And he died when he was 93. So, and he's lived right there within a mile of my place. And it's been a big tree, like outstandingly big tree all his life. And here he was almost 100 years old. I don't know. I think I could say pretty safely that it was a tree that was growing before the Civil War. I'm pretty confident of that. When I moved there, there was one of its children, I guess, probably came up from one of the acorns from that tree, was probably, I don't know, maybe 10 inches, 12 inches in diameter at the back of my house. Lived there 20 years. And you know, I can tell this tree has grown. But every year, I don't measure it every year. I haven't ever measured it as far as around it. But I know it's growing, but it grows really slow. You know, sometimes we can be discouraged because we feel like, oh, I'm not growing like I want to. We can be discouraged. You know, thistles is something that will come up in our yard and in the pasture, and my, they can grow really fast. Before you know it, they'll be, thistles have already really been taken off this year, and before you know it, they'll be shooting up, and the next thing we know, they'll have their little blossoms on it, and then we'll wonder about what we're going to, why we didn't do something sooner. But another thing I will just say about growth is, I remember when I was really young, you know, you're always concerned about how tall you are, or little boys are anyway. And so as a young person, didn't see them real regularly, but I was always comparing myself to Sister Allen, Sister Jan's mother, if y'all remember her. I don't think she ever quite made 5 feet tall. And now my dad, we'd measure him as boys, and he was always exactly 2 yardsticks, right on the button, 6 foot tall. And it was like, that's so far away, you know, I don't know if I never did get as tall as him. But now Sister Allen, you know, 4'11" or something like that. I don't remember how tall she was, but, you know, I really felt like when I got taller than her, I thought, you know, I'm taller than an adult. I really felt like I was growing up. But how are we spiritually? Are we growing up? Are we gaining? I don't know. Look back over a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 10 years, maybe longer. I don't know. Do you feel like you could honestly say that I'm growing? I'm making progress. I look out around the cornfields that are planted this spring, and you know they're at V4 or whatever. I don't know how to say for sure. They got like 3 or 4 little leaves on the corn now, and old timers used to say they wanted their corn knee high by the 4th of July. Well, I'm going to tell you. Usually by the 4th of July, it's about chin high around here. It really takes off. Maybe it's the the variety, and maybe it's the fertilizer they put on. I don't know. So we might measure ourselves against someone that's short to try to determine, are we growing or not physically? And I was thinking about some scriptures this morning, because we're not here just to find out who's the tallest. It wouldn't take us long to figure that out. But I want us to look at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and just consider some components about spiritual growth. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and I think I'm going to start reading about verse 7. He says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? You know, it's pretty easy for us to look on and say, well, they're pretty tall, or they're kind of short, or they're kind of skinny, or they're not kind of skinny, or, you know, they're kind of heavy, or they look old, or they look too young. You know, I'm at the age in life that there's times that I look on somebody that's trying to fulfill an occupational position, and I look on and say, well, I don't know, do they look too young to do that? You know, maybe it's somebody that's a teller at the bank, or someone that's maybe in a position to give you advice about what kind of fertilizer to put on your tomatoes or something like that. And it's like, well, I don't know. They was awful young. I don't know if I can trust them or not. You know, well, that's where I'm at in life. You know, I wanted to know, and I was trying to learn when I was younger, and I wanted people to trust me, and now I'm the old person, and I'm looking on and saying, I don't know if they're old enough to know what they're doing or not. But he says here, do you look on things after the outward appearance? Is that what we're looking for? Well, there's going to be some evidence. There's going to be some things that's on the outward appearance. We're going to see some evidence of on the outside of what's on the inside. But is just what's on the outside, is that what we're looking for? Just listen to what it says here. If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Well, what's he saying here? I believe he's saying that we can be overly confident, and we can, and he's going to say something down here below this a little bit that kind of brings this into focus. We can begin to try to assess ourselves from a wrong perspective if we're not careful. I want us to be honest with ourselves. And I want us to be honest with ourselves this morning. And I want us to ask ourselves, am I growing or not? You know, as we get older, all of us have the possibility of losing bone density. And sometimes there's a condition. It seems like it happens more with women than it does men. But we have conditions sometimes called, what do they say, osteoporosis or something like that, where people actually become shorter. So I want to, is it possible for us to have spiritual osteoporosis, if I said that right? Just thinking about how, he said here, if any man trusts in himself that he is Christ. So maybe I don't have all the right perspective of what he's saying here, but we need an assessment that's not just my assessment. We need something a little bit more definite about whether I'm growing or not. He says in verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. There are some that may be fast growers. There may be some that are slow growers. There may be some that growth has kind of paused a little bit. Had an experience a few years ago. I made a fantastic discovery for my pastor. I know everybody has different perspectives about using herbicides, but there's this stuff called Grazon. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but it's a broadleaf herbicide. And boy, that is some good stuff on a pasture. But I'm not always really good about reading the fine print. And I thought if it works out there in the pasture, maybe I could use it real conservatively in my garden. You know, just be careful with where I squirt this stuff or rub it on something. And boy, all of that stuff that wants to grow in your garden when you don't like it, it'll knock it out now. It's amazing. But I use that a little bit, and apparently that was absorbed by the weeds and the things I didn't want, and it got down into the dirt. And about 3 years ago, I planted some tomatoes. Well, what do you want tomatoes to do? I want them to grow. I want tomatoes to be putting on new limbs, and then I want them to bloom, and then I want little green tomatoes, and ultimately I want some big red ripe tomatoes. That's what I'm looking for. I planted these tomatoes, and you go back and check them in a couple days, and they're alive. That's about all I can say. Check them in a week, still alive, but I don't see any signs of growth. And by usually the end of the second week, they're dead. I don't know what I did wrong. I went and bought some more, put more tomatoes out. Within 10 days, they was dead. Never grew. Well, I got to reading. You know, Grazon can get in the soil, and it can also get in that stuff if you have it around, it kind of lingers, and it kills tomatoes. If y'all don't know that, it'll kill your tomato plants. And if it's in the dirt, your tomatoes won't grow. They just won't grow. And sometimes we have this, maybe in our spiritual walk, we've come to a place that maybe we've been trying to kill so many other weeds in life that we look around ourselves and we realize that we've kind of become stagnant, not making any progress. I don't want us to get discouraged this morning. It says, I want to skip down here to verse 12. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So why is that not wise? It's because it's relative. It's relative to what's right next to me. You know, if we say we live an upright life and everything around us is horrible degradation, if you live in an apartment or a neighborhood where everybody is on some kind of intoxicant most of the time, whether it's drugs or alcohol, nobody is in their right mind all of the time. If you live in that neighborhood and you don't do that, then relatively speaking, you look pretty good. That could be, I hope that's everyone here. I hope that compared to somebody that ingest something into their bodies that messes with their mind. I hope every one of us here, relatively speaking to that, that we're good, that we're holy, if you will, and we're more godly than that. But is that all? Is that what we ought to do? Well, I'm better than all my neighbors, so I must be okay. I must be growing. He said, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So, a measure. We measure height here in the United States, inches, feet, yards, those kind of numbers. Other countries use different measuring systems, but as a whole, if you say you're 1.5 meters, that don't mean a lot to us. But if you say you're 5'10", then we have something in our head, right? And he said here, God had distributed to us a measure to reach even unto you. So I'm not supposed to measure myself against Sister Allen, per se. I'm using her because she was a really short sister. And I'm not comparing myself to her naturally or spiritually. There's a measure the Lord's going to give me. There's something, you know, I have this perspective in my mind of what I want my bushes to look like. I have this perspective in my mind what I want my tomatoes to look like. And God has something in mind for every one of us here. It doesn't matter where you're at. And if you're here this morning and you think, oh, they're 6'7", I'll never get there. You know, it can look overwhelming. And that's because we are measuring ourselves among ourselves. We can. It's very easy for us to do. It's very easy to become overwhelmed. Whatever it is that the enemy wants to come along and impact us with. And Paul said, it's not wise to do that. Don't do that. There's a measure that the Lord wants to give you. I don't expect my oak trees to grow like a sycamore. A sycamore is a fast-growing shade tree. In fact, we've had a number of them down at the Monarch Springs campgrounds that were planted, I don't know, 50 years ago. And they're getting less and less as time goes on because guess what happened? In 40 years, they grew up, became shade, become weak, started breaking off, died, and most of the sycamores are gone down there because their life cycle is ended. And they didn't even hardly, I doubt very many of them made it 50 years. And here I've got an oak tree, I'm telling you, that's at my house, that's probably 165 years old. Still going, making acorns every year. I want to measure to God's measure. I don't want to get distracted. It can be discouraging, and it can also be like, ha, I got it made. I'm bigger spiritually than they are. I don't have to work on anything. That's not a good perspective either. You can feel intimidated because somebody's taller than you, and you can also feel too self-secure because you feel like you're overshadowing somebody else. Neither one of those are right. But why? Because it's relative. It's relative to what's right around us. Let's go on to here a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Now, I just said that we shouldn't measure ourselves among ourselves, that that's not wise. It'll get us into trouble. It'll either discourage us or cause us to feel inflated about our own spiritual life. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to look at verse 24. It says, "And let us consider one another." That sounds like we ought to be concerned about each other and what's next to us. But how are we supposed to consider one another? Am I measuring against you? No. It says to provoke or to encourage, to challenge, to love, and to good works. So although I'm not supposed to say, well, compared to this brother or that brother, I'm not doing very good. Or really, you know, I am way out in front. We're not supposed to be doing that. That's Paul said that's not wise. I'm telling you it's not wise. I'm telling you that's not a very good method to assess your spiritual growth. There's a measure the Lord wants to give you. He's got the right perspective for you. But the scripture also says, how are we going to provoke one another if we don't get kind of close to one another? I don't know how to do that. You know, if we don't ever come together in a setting like this, we can't do much provoking. Just saying. We come together, we're able to empty vessel to vessel, we're able to hear the word expounded upon, we're able to hear one another's testimonies, hear one another's prayers, all of those kind of things. It should provoke us to want to have more growth. That's the whole point of the message this morning. In John, the 21st chapter, we have a setting where Jesus had told Peter, "Peter, I got a job for you." And you know what that job was? Any of you children, young people, know what the job was that Peter was given by Jesus? He asked Simon Peter, he asked him a question. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Well, yeah, Lord, I love you. If I went around here this morning and I said to everyone, if it took you one at a time, back in the corner somewheres, maybe you lined up and come through the Sunday school room and out this door where nobody heard and all this, and I said, do you love the Lord? You know what I think you would say? Yeah. Yeah, I love the Lord." So Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, Peter, lovest thou me?" He said, "Yeah, Lord, I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." You know, this is the next measure that I want you to get to. Feed my sheep. And then before he left, he said, "Peter, you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord, I love you." "Well, feed my sheep." That's the mark, Peter. That's the measure I want you to get to. Feed my sheep. But that's not what I'm really concerned about. I'm concerned this morning about what Peter said in verse 21. Peter, seeing him, maybe verse 20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?" Now, those of us that's parents, been parents, especially as our children get older, have we ever had one of our children, "Well, what about my brother? Well, what about them sisters? You told me to do whatever task it was. Well, what about them? We ever had that situation? I did. You know, turned to one of my boys. Now, son, when you get home from school today, this is a job I got for you to do. And more than once I've had, well, what about my brothers? What are they going to be doing? So I quoted this scripture to him more than once. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, that's one of the best answers you can give as a parent when one child says, well, what about Keaton? What's he going to do? You told me to cut the grass. Keaton, what's he going to do? Don't worry about Keaton. You just do what I told you to do. You know, that's why Paul said it's not wise to measure ourselves among ourselves. We can look around and wonder, why is it the Lord give me this job? Why is it that I need to learn this lesson? Or why is it that he wants me to grow up in here? This brother needs to learn that too. If he expects that out of me, then everybody else ought to do it too. You see how it becomes unwise? And how, you know, when he puts a measure for us, if you can get the concept here, I want you to grow up to this point. I want you to mature in this area. I want you to become more diligent in this area. I want you to gain more understanding wherever it is. And you know what our human tendency is to say, well, what about Brother Dan? You know, I think he could grow up there in a little bit too. I think he needs to improve just a little bit. You could say that. The Lord could be challenging you to do something more mature than I do. And you could be tempted to say, well, Lord, if anybody ought to do it, it ought to be Brother Danny. But he's give us something. He's give us a measure to grow. So whatever it is this morning, don't. This is the point I want us to get across this morning. Don't allow ourselves to compare ourselves among ourselves to the point that if it don't make sense to me, then I guess I'm just not going to do it. You know, that's not the attitude the Lord wants me to have. The Lord wants me to embrace the measure that he gives me. And he wants me to grow and fill that spot. I believe this setting with Peter and John illustrates how serious the urge is for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. If you feel like you're the caboose on the whole line of train cars, and you're just barely at the end of the line, and you can look like, you know, I've heard it said that if at 2 years old, a child will generally end up being, I think it's three times that tall. Is that right? Maybe that's not right. I don't remember. Maybe it's twice that tall. Anyway, there's a certain age. So you measure your child, you know, oh, this is how tall you are. Well, when you're an adult, you'll probably be this tall. Well, the devil wants us to get distracted by where I'm at in the train car line. He wants us to be discouraged because we're not gaining ground quick enough, or he wants us to become inflated because we're the little bell on the front of the locomotive, so to speak, and you don't have to do anything. You don't need to grow. I'm telling you, all of us have a measure that the Lord wants us to grow up to. He's got one for every. It doesn't matter where we're at in life. He's got something he wants us to grow up to. I believe I'm going to stop there this morning. I just want us to take those two concepts home with us. Think about it. Don't measure ourselves among ourselves, because it's simply not wise. And be willing to accept the measure that God has for us. Don't be discouraged, and don't go to neutral. I know this is a little technical, but bear with me. I feel it seems to keep coming back to my mind. I'm going to tell you a little occupational situation I've had to deal with over life. So we have something that we do in testing sometimes called a cylinder contribution test. And that compares, you know, your car may have four cylinders, it may have six, it may have eight. Occasionally we'll run into a 10-cylinder or a 5-cylinder or something like that. But when we do a cylinder contribution test, we're looking at how they compare to one another. And there's one specific engine that I've done a lot of warranty work on over the years when I worked at the dealership. We'd do a cylinder contribution test, and maybe one cylinder would be low. Well, after some other tests, we would make a repair to that one cylinder. And our process was that you had to run it for about the equivalent of driving it 50 miles, and you had to start it the next morning to see how it was. Well, the next morning, you start it up, and because we put a new part on it, maybe two or three cylinders showed to be low the next morning, because it was just relative. Okay? It wasn't checking itself against what original was. It wasn't checking itself against what was perfect. It was just relative amongst the eight. All right? And you could, there's vehicles that I kept almost a whole week, because every day there would be another cylinder that was weak compared to the others. And I'd take it back apart and put a new injector in it, put it back together. And the next morning, there's another one. And you end up taking it apart and putting it back together maybe three or four times. Didn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's how our procedure was supposed to go. And that's why it's not wise to check ourselves relative to somebody else. I want us to check ourselves. I want to get into this maybe this evening, but I want us to check ourselves against the Word, against the measure, the mark that the Lord puts on us. The Lord's going to put a mark up there for you, and he wants you to get to that mark. I don't know where that is for everybody, and I don't profess to know where that is. But the Lord, maybe this morning, is trying to put a mark for you up on the wall, so to speak. We used to do something at school. We had I don't remember exactly why we were doing this, but we were supposed to stand flat-footed and jump and have a marker in our hand and put a mark, see who could put the highest mark up on the wall. Well, you know, if you take a marker, and I couldn't be very high off the ground today, but if you take a marker in your hand like this, and you jump just as high as you can and put a mark, that's not near as high as if I held a marker with my fingers up like this. You see? And then some of these fellows would kind of run at the wall and put their foot on the wall and boost themselves up, and they could really put a high mark on the wall. Well, you know, the Lord has got a mark. I don't know where it's at for all of us this morning, but I know He's got a mark for me to get to. He's got a measure that He wants me to grow to. He's got a measure for each one of us here this morning, and I want us to be willing to embrace that and not just look over and say, well, what's Brother Rob going to do? You know? I could feel the Lord challenging me this morning, and instead of accepting that challenge and growing in that direction, I could be honed in on, well, what's Brother Rob going to do? And miss what I need to do. You pray for me. I'm in the same boat, and I want to be paddling with all of y'all to get to the other side. I want to be able to hear the Lord say to every one of us here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it doesn't matter where I'm at on compared to you. I want to meet the mark, the measure that the Lord puts for me. You pray for me.